Ave Maria in the Afternoon is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Welcome to Ave Maria in the Afternoon, examining the world through the lens of faith from the heart of the Church to help us navigate the culture. Here's Dr. Marcus Peter.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for joining us on this hour of Ave Maria in the Afternoon. I'm Marcus Peter. This weekend, we celebrate the solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity. Now, I want you to imagine this. As a liturgical family, as a family in covenant going through the entire story of salvation history through the year, we have gone through the narrative of creation, and then we celebrated the incarnation of our Lord with the birth of Jesus. Well, first his incarnation, and then eventually his birth we celebrate over Christmas. And then we journey through the year, and we eventually wind up going through the highlight of his public ministry in life, which is the Paschal Mysteries, which is what Lent is all about. His entire public ministry we celebrate through Lent, coming to a great culmination in Holy Week. And so we see our Lord crucified, die. We see him rise from the dead, ascend into heaven, and then send forth the Holy Spirit. And now we have seen all three persons of the Trinity made manifest. And so what does the Church do in her wisdom? She gives us the solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity, because in the person of Christ, who also gives us the Holy Spirit, who sends forth the Holy Spirit, we now see that God is truly three in one. There is a kind of triune reality, the triunity, if you will, but it's more than that. There's an interpersonal intimacy in the Trinitarian life that Rob Corzine of the St. Paul Center is going to unpack for us in the readings this Sunday. And then we move on from there to speak with Father Wade Menezes, no stranger to this program, but also no stranger to all of you listeners of EWTN Global Catholic Radio. He is a radio and TV host, prolific author, and we will be talking about fatherhood, masculinity, manhood, and the need to reclaim that in a virtuous manner. Father Wade is an insightful wealth of knowledge, but over and above that, he's a deeply loving pastor. And what he is going to unpack for us is the mystery of a devotional life. This is based on a book that he's written that we will talk about during the segment. But in the grander reality, he as a father, as a spiritual father, compels us boys to rise up to become men, to become virtuous men, husbands and fathers ourselves. And so we talk about all of this after the headlines.
Thanks, Marcus. Good afternoon, everyone. This is your Ave Maria Radio News for Friday, June 13th. It's the Feast of St. Anthony of Padua. Today's news brought to you by the Ave Maria Family of Funds at AveMariaFunds.com. Missiles are being fired at Tel Aviv in what's likely Iran's response to Israeli strikes. Iranian state media reporting hundreds of missiles have been launched, with some reportedly making it through Israel's Iron Dome defense system. The U.S. is reportedly helping Israel intercept missiles and drones launched by Iran. Israel defending its preemptive strike. Israel's ambassador to the U.N., Danny Dannon, commenting on Israel's military action at the U.N. in New York.
We acted to protect our citizens. We acted to prevent a threat that would endanger not only Israel, but the entire world.
President Trump confirming that the Iranian leaders that were talking with the U.S. about a nuclear deal are now dead after the Israeli strikes. Organizers are calling for peaceful protests across the country tomorrow in opposition to President Trump's military parade. Demonstrators against the parade are planned in over 1,800 communities, and up to 1 million people are expected to show up. Governor Ron DeSantis says Florida drivers have the right to protect themselves during unruly protests.
If you're driving on one of those streets and a mob comes and surrounds your vehicle and threatens you, you have a right to flee for your safety. And so if you drive off and you hit one of these people, that's their fault for impinging on you. You don't have to sit there and just be a sitting duck and let the mob grab you out of your car and drag you through the streets. You have a right to defend yourself in Florida.
The governor's comments on the Rubin Report come ahead of those widespread No Kings protests. From your AveMariaRadio.net news desk, I'm Steve Clark.
Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter. This Sunday, we will encounter the wondrous mystery of the Holy Trinity in the readings, and joining us to unpack the imagery and the lessons that the Church has for us, quite frankly, the lectio that the Church has for us, is Rob Kozin, Vice President of Academic Programs for the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology. Rob, thank you for joining us. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's a delight to be with you, as always.
It's always a delight to connect with you, and these are segments I truly look forward to every week, and I believe our listeners are benefiting as much as I am from these.
To spend time in the Sunday readings before Sunday sort of primes us to receive them, you know, afresh when we hear them.
Yeah.
You know, the liturgy is the home of sacred scripture, but if we put some work in beforehand, we're more at home when we come to hear them. You know, proclaimed in the liturgy, and this has been incredible to me as well to put in the work ahead of time.
Well, I'm truly glad to hear that. And since you've put in so much work as you always do, what does the Church have in store for us this weekend?
Well, this is we talked last week about maybe the feast of the coming of the Holy Spirit being the peak of the year, but in some ways that really propels us to this week, where the central doctrine of Christianity, you know, comes into focus on Trinity Sunday. This is really the half point of the liturgical year, and at the temporal center, we pause and reflect on the central mystery of our faith, the mystery of the Most Holy Trinity. And that makes sense, because it's really the Holy Spirit sent to us on Pentecost that enables us even to begin to look at this central mystery of the Trinity. This is one of those Sundays I think a lot of priests dread to preach on. A lot of people wonder, what's the practical necessity of this doctrine? It seems like an obscure mystery. And I think the answer is that, you know, in his love, God wants to reveal himself to us. And he is in himself this mysterious communion of three persons in one nature. And so it is ours to ponder the sacred scriptures and the mystery of the Holy Trinity to sort of receive and know better the one who loves us.
And so let's go on from there. Let's talk about how the readings unpack that for us.
So we begin with the Proverbs, this famous reading in Proverbs 8, where the speaker is the wisdom of God. So thus says the wisdom of God, the Lord possessed me, the beginning of his ways, the forerunner of his prodigies of long ago. From of old I was poured forth, at the first before the earth, when there were no depths I was brought forth, when there were no fountains or springs of water, before the mountains were settled into place, before the hills I was brought forth, while as yet the earth and fields were not made, nor the first clods of the world. When the Lord established the heavens, I was there. When he marked out the vault over the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he fixed the fast foundations of the earth, when he set the limits for the sea, so that the water should not transgress his command, then was I beside him as his craftsman. And I was his delight day by day, playing before him, and all the while playing on the surface of the earth, and I found delight in the human race. So this controversy in antiquity is really the focus of a lot of the church's initial controversy over the doctrine of the Trinity, and particularly the Arian controversy in the 4th century, focused on verse 22, the Lord possessed me. The word possessed here in English is kane in Hebrew, which is confusing because it's a homonym. There are two words. Kane, it can mean either to create or to acquire, to purchase. And the Arians wanted to say kane means created, so Jesus is a creature, not fully divine. The Orthodox say it just meant acquired, to refer to the timeless, eternal begetting of the Son. And you can't, lexical research won't resolve it, so we have to ponder the text itself.
Mm-hmm.
Other biblical texts associate both. So the early church was assuming this was all about the procession of the Son, but I think it can be both the Son or the Spirit. other biblical texts associate both with divine wisdom. So John 1:1, Jesus is God's logos, the word of God. On the other hand, wisdom 7:25, look at Lady Wisdom as the breath, the ruach, the spirit of God. So it's really both or either that are being typified in this passage, but both precede creation. Both are active in creation, not just there, but the craftsman, as the proverb, writer of the Proverbs gets it. This illustrates how united the Son and the Spirit are in their processions and in their actions. And the fathers see this, the unity of the Son and the Spirit. And this passage from Proverbs reminds us that hundreds of years before the coming of the Christ, the Holy Spirit was inspiring ancient Israelite authors to pen religious poetry that's really difficult to reconcile with a strict monopersonal view of God. Mm-hmm. You don't have the doctrine of the Trinity coming into focus, but you do have this sort of blurring around the edges, this suggestion that there's, in some mysterious way, more than one person involved in the divine act of creation. And so we move on to the Psalms, Psalm 8. An ambiguous who's speaking here.
Right.
We read, when I behold your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you set in place, what is man that you should be mindful of him, or the son of man that you should care for him? You have made him a little less than the angels, crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him rule over the works of your hand, putting all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yes, and beasts of the field, the bird of the air, the fishes of the sea, and whatever swims in the paths of the seas. So who is this son of man figure? It kind of raises, and it really, there's four legitimate ways. It could be Adam, the son of man, or humanity in general, or the author David, or the son of David, the Messiah. And those are all legitimate. They're all interrelated. But our Lord takes this phrase, the son of man, as the most common way that he identifies himself. And Psalm 8 describes a certain son of man who's made a little less than the angels, or as the Septuagint, quoted by Hebrews, for a little while lower than the angels. It's a description of the period of the incarnation. But then the son of man is crowned with glory and honor and placed as king over all creation. So the prefigurement of Christ is really clear to see in the psalm. The second person who nevertheless, while being human, exercises the divine prerogative of rule over the cosmos on behalf of God the Father. And then we get to the second reading in Romans. We get, once again, dense Pauline theology,
yep.
Beautifully expressing a really profound faith in a really compressed text. So read, brothers and sisters, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we even boast of our afflictions, knowing that affliction produces endurance, and endurance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that's been given to us. This is so beautiful and dense. You have the particular work of each of the three persons here described in the mystery of salvation. So we are reconciled. We have peace with God the Father through the work of Jesus Christ and through the love of God poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And this does so much for us. It both shows us the sort of unity as well as the distinction between the persons of the Trinity, and it helps us get past the old conflict of salvation by faith and salvation by works.
Right. My guest is Rob Cozine, Vice President of Academic Programs at the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology, and we have just entered into talking about the second reading of the Sunday coming from Romans 5, and there's a lot more to unpack. Stay tuned. I'm Marcus Peter.
My dad, sharp as a tack, but getting him out for a dentist trip got harder every year. When he moved to the senior residence where he lives now, Dr. Mansour's portable dental service was a godsend. Dr. Mansour comes to wherever the homebound patient may be, whether in a nursing facility or the comfort of home. All the services you'd expect in a dentist office brought straight to the patient's door. Call 586-873-5567. That's 586-873-5567 or portabledentalservices.com.
Location, location, location. These are the three most important factors in real estate. The same might be said for colleges. Trudging through snow to get to an 8 a.m. statistics class is a much different experience than breezing by a palm tree to the raucous applause of a laughing gull. With the average temperature of 84 degrees and wetland nature as your backdrop, it's no wonder students tend to stay once they visit our campus. Ave Maria University, your future location, location, location. Visit avemaria.edu. Join Bishop Earl Boyer and clergy from around the diocese June 21st at 10 a.m. for a Mass at the Lansing Lugnuts Ballpark and a Eucharistic procession to the steps of the state capitol. There'll be an opportunity to receive the indulgence for the Jubilee year. Just RSVP at eucharisticjourney.org to let them know that you'll be joining Bishop Boyer for this opportunity to be Christ's witnesses to the world that is longing for the fulfillment that only can come from Him. That's eucharisticjourney.org.
No one should ever have to choose between feeding their family and keeping their heat on. Impossible questions like rent or diapers demand answers every day, likely in your very own neighborhood, but you can help. Hope Clinic partners with you to provide free medical, dental, food, and behavioral health care, all in Jesus' name. While others face impossible choices, your choice is an easy one. Partner with Hope Clinic today. Find out how at www.thehopeclinic.org.
Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter, speaking with Rob Corzine of the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology in Steubenville, Ohio. Now, Rob, you had just begun touching on this wondrous piece of Pauline theology and explaining to us how we ought to properly understand soteriology. So let's pick up from where we left off.
Yeah, so, you know, as I was raised a Protestant, and we would often sort of stop at the beginning, see, you know, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, full stop. So justification or righteousness before God was a thing that we just had by faith, through Christ. And that is true, but incomplete, because that's the middle of a sentence. And Paul keeps going on and says, through whom we have gained access by faith to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. So the full glory of God is not a thing yet we've received, but as we go on, we see that there's a role to be played by the Spirit and by our sufferings. So our afflictions produce endurance and proven character and hope, and that hope doesn't disappoint because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. So the end wasn't just justifying us forensically or sort of legally, but the end was transforming us by the love of God poured in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. All three persons of the Trinity are directly involved in saving us. We are joined to the Father through the Son, by the Spirit, who doesn't just declare us, but makes us righteous, that gives us a share in Christ's own divine sonship. And that is Pauline theology, like, at the taproot.
Yeah.
So we come to the gospel. Last time we were looking at Jesus' promise to send the Spirit on Pentecost Sunday. We're still here in the upper room now in John 16 in this Last Supper discourse. And he's moved on to talk about one of the things that the Spirit is going to do when he's sent. So Jesus says to his disciples, we read, I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. But when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you to all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will speak what he hears and will bear to you the things that are coming. He will glorify me because he will take from what is mine and declare to you Everything that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I told you that he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. There's so much going on here. First, we see, and what's really being emphasized by choosing this for Trinity Sunday, you know, again, the relations between the persons in the Godhead, that the Son sends the Spirit, and that's because everything that the Father has, he has been given to the Son. And so it's the Father and the Son who send the Spirit. We have, I think, a clear teaching of the filioque that we proclaim in the Creed, mm-hmm. that the Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. But he's not Spirit in general. In this reading, he's the Spirit of truth, who's to guide you into all truth. And at one point, this is a sort of commonplace, amongst Protestants, that we look at this passage and we're like, you know, the Spirit of truth will guide you into all truth. We take that as sort of a general promise of personal infallibility, right? If I would sincerely ask for guidance, Jesus here is promising the Spirit of truth to guide us into all truth. And so we can have confidence in our own interpretations of Scripture because we have the Spirit of truth. The problem with that is that when you look at the Greek, the you there is a second person plural. Jesus is speaking to the apostles as a group. So it's the seed and nucleus of the hierarchy of the church that's there in the college of the apostles that's being addressed. And so when the successors of the apostles are gathered together as they were in that upper room, mm-hmm. the Spirit doesn't fail to lead them into the fullness of God's truth. Right. But it's not a personal promise of individual infallibility on the part of everyone who has the Spirit. So that's an interpretation that serves easily there on the surface of the text, but really can't be followed through when you look at it closer. And why is he going to be sent? He's going to be sent to teach the much more to tell that you cannot bear now. So we see also in this reading the seed of the notion of the development of dogma. The truths of the faith are eternal. They don't change over time. The truths don't develop, but the Spirit of truth, who guides the church into all truth, has over the centuries build a clearer and clearer picture. God has always been triune, and the Scriptures bear witness to that, even if they don't define the Trinity in particulars. But the definitions and the particulars had to be worked out over centuries, as the Spirit did here, right? Took from what is mine, what is Christ, and declared to you. So you have a certain milestone of clarity at the Council of Chalcedon in 451, but the picture doesn't change, and it never will. It's not an evolutionary process. But the picture becomes even clearer and better defined. And I think this is a good note for us. We often, a lot of us, maybe not all of us, but you know, a lot of us have this tendency to romanticize the early church, that you know, it was an age of martyrs and there's this energy and purity of faith. But we have benefits that they didn't have. We have their work, and the vastly superior clarity of the faith that we enjoy now. The fathers of the great councils of the 4th century and the 5th century could not do what we can do, is pull out the catechism and look up the right answer.
Or the Summa, or any commentary coming out of the St. Paul Center.
That's right. This mystery of the Trinity, is easy to sort of dismiss. Like we check true, right? We proclaim the creed. We don't really know, what to do with it. And I would suggest that, that's to leave the great gift of the loving self-revelation of God to us on the shelf. And that's not what we should do. It takes hard work. You don't ever come to the end of the mystery, but Yeah, a great place to start would be, there's a book, I think it was 1946 by the great English apologist Frank Sheed called Theology and Sanity. That is probably the best introduction to really doing theology and to seeing its, the mysteries unfold. And, I think that's online for free since it's in the public domain. We republished a book, at Emmaus Academic, called The Mysteries of Christianity by Matthias Schaven.
Yep.
That is profoundly beautiful, but not light reading. if you want to pick up a copy of Schaven's Mysteries of Christianity, don't make it your nighttime reading. This requires a full application, but you see both the profound truth and like the heartbreaking beauty of the Catholic faith, if you will take the time to put in the work to sort of contemplate the mystery of the Most Holy Trinity, that God, in His deepest mystery, is not a unity but a family, a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and He reveals this to us because He wants us to know Him, and everything we know about Him is another reason to love Him, and so this is kind of the superfluous character of the Trinity, where it's not a command or day to day practical thing, is something we should both embrace and respond to.
My guest has been Rob Kozin, Vice President of Academic Programs for the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology. We're talking about the mystery of the Holy Trinity. Stay tuned. I'm Marcus Peter.
Resetting your password, unsubscribing from emails, printing anything. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with an auto owner's insurance independent agent, getting the right coverage for your business doesn't have to be one of them. So you can get back to more important things, like learning how that printer works. That's simple human sense.
Call Choice Insurance Agency at 734-641-4200. Catholic Charities of Shiawassee and Genesee counties have been providing health and creating hope since 1941. It's the generosity of donors that allows them to provide necessary services such as their warming center, which provides refuge and comfort to thousands in our community. They also offer hot meals in their soup kitchens and help families make ends meet in their community closet. Even the smallest donation makes a meaningful difference. Join us in their mission by giving a donation at CatholicCharitiesFlint.org.
Ave Maria in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. By asking for spiritual communion, we are acknowledging that the Holy Mass is the perfect, best way to worship God. The priest intercedes perfectly for us with God the Father because he acts in persona Christi. This is the time to see that through the priest's representation of Christ's sacrifice on Calvary, we are never separated from our Lord. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
This week on Christ is the Answer, Father John talks about how important it is to tell your story. God has touched all of our lives in different ways, appearing personally and uniquely to each of us. And that story of how the Lord moved in and through us is a great way to evangelize. Join us this week as Father John not only tells God's story in his own life, but he shows us how you too can share your story and be an instrument for evangelization. Tune in for Christ is the Answer, Monday through Fridays at 11 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo. Your kids are grown, and the difficult choice of who will raise them in case of an untimely death has passed. Stop making excuses. Go to MyCatholicWill.com. A legal will is short and simple, and thanks to our partnership with MyCatholicWill.com, when you use the promo code AVE, A-V-E, your will is absolutely free. No hidden costs whatsoever. Visit MyCatholicWill.com.
Honey, did you ever call Mighty Dog Roofing of Ann Arbor for that free roof inspection?
I knew I forgot something.
Roof leaks can cause mold buildup or even roof collapse. Protect your family today by calling local Catholic Dan and Mary Flanagan at Mighty Dog Roofing for a free inspection of your roof, siding, or windows. Mighty Dog Roofing, 734-224-4916. That's 734-224-4916.
St. Therese once told her sister Celine that when we trust ourselves and not God, our soul becomes barren and incapable of virtue. Her remedy? External works of charity. We all try to do it on our own sometimes, without asking for God's help. At St. Paul Evangelization, we suggest sharing the gospel with someone who needs it. Check out streetevangelization.com to find a team near you where you can share the love of Jesus. If there isn't one in your area yet, perhaps God is calling you to start a team in your city. To learn more, visit streetevangelization.com.
Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Alex Pizza. Joining me to have a conversation about the role of fathers, about boys needing to virtuously mature into men, and men needing to spiritually and virtuously mature into good husbands and fathers, is Father Wade Menezes, who's no stranger to any of you listening right now. He is a member of the Fathers of Mercy, a missionary preaching religious congregation that's based in Kentucky. He was ordained a priest during the great Jubilee year of the year 2000 that he and I are speaking in this Jubilee year is Divine Providence. He's also the author of Stand Firm, Be Strong, a men's Catholic daily devotional of Scripture and Saints. Father, real joy to speak with you again. How are you?
I'm doing great, Marcus. Thank you for having me on today, and this just before Father's Day to talk about my new book, For Men in General, but in a very special way meant for fathers. And it's a delight to be with you today.
Father, on behalf of all of your spiritual children, happy Father's Day to you. Thank you for your spiritual fatherhood. It's a gift to all of us.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate that, especially during my Jubilee year, my Silver Jubilee year. On June 10th, I marked my 25th anniversary of priesthood. Time flies, Marcus.
You say 25th anniversary, Father, and I'm thinking, so were you ordained when you were five?
Yeah, a lot of people joke with me about that. No, I wasn't ordained when I was five. But I was actually considered a latter vocation. You know, I entered the Fathers of Mercy at age 27 for the novitiate, and 2 weeks into the novitiate, I turned 28 in August, August 23rd, St. Rosalina's feast day. And so I'm just about to turn 60, and 25 years of that has been as a priest, and 26 years of that has been as a deacon.
Wow. Well, once again, Father, thank you for your ministry. Thank you for your spiritual fatherhood. And that paves the way for us to ask a very legitimate question. In your experience as a pastor and as a teacher, preacher, you've seen how the modern image of manhood is a complete repudiation of God's plan for virtuous manhood and fatherhood. So I want to open there, Father. What's going on with the world, and how does the church provide the response?
You know, that's a great question, and I think it's a multiplicity of things.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, first and foremost, we have gotten away from the natural law, mm-hmm. how God has designed us. John Paul II, now saint before he died, of course we know, Marcus, that he talked quite a bit about the so-called feminine genius,
yep.
and had the ability to write about it before his passing, before his Parkinson's set in. And he noted, for example, in one sense, that the primary gifts of the feminine genius is that women by nature are called to be comforters, nurturers, and nesters. Yeah. And he never got a chance to really expound on the masculine genius, although I believe he would have if time would have been on his side. And from what I've culled from John Paul's writings mm-hmm. in regards to the natural law and what I believe he would have termed the masculine genius, the three primary gifts for the men, the male, are provider, protector, defender,
right?
So comforter, nurturer, and nester for the feminine genius, mm-hmm. and provider, protector, and leader for the masculine genius. And I believe we've gotten away from those realities precisely because we've gotten away from the natural law and our anthropology mm-hmm. as human persons made in God's own image and likeness. And so we shift away from the moral law, and when we do that, we get away from reason. And when we get away from reason, things become chaotic. So that's my answer in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we could talk about the secular feminist movement, which the sociologists say was ushered in by the sexual revolution, the watershed year, of course, which was 1967,
yeah,
according to the secular sociologists, and I don't think they're wrong in that. But then we could also look at the contraceptive movement and mentality,
yeah,
which really began globally with the Lambeth Conference,
mm-hmm,
with our Anglican brothers and sisters, yeah, back in 1930.
Yeah.
So it's a plethora of items. But the fact is, we've gotten away from the natural law, and we've gotten away from the beauty of our image and likeness made in God's image and likeness, as Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27 tells us. I will make them in our image, after our own likeness I shall make them. And so that's really the crux, if you will, of the issue here at hand. And so it's led us to such things as an increased divorce rate, fatherless homes, etc. You know, and I'm not praising the so-called quote-unquote secular term of toxic masculinity. That has its faults too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want men who are Saint Josephs.
Yep.
I want men who are just men. I want men who are silent before they speak, so that
right,
when they do speak, they know exactly what they're speaking about. Saint Joseph is really, truly, and sincerely the model of men. And it's not by accident that he was chosen by Almighty God,
yep,
to be the foster father of the God-man Jesus Christ, of the Christ child, Jesus Christ.
And based on everything you've just said, Father, effectively, we can make a very logical statement that the denigration of the societal structure as we spiral away from natural law is, for the remedy to start, boys need to become men, and men need to rise up to become true men, true virtuous men. Short of reclaiming that, we're going to have a hard time rebuilding culture and society.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And regardless of what the male's vocation ends up being,
mm-hmm,
it doesn't matter. All are called to virtue.
Yep.
The single, the married, the consecrated religious, whether active or contemplative, the diocesan cleric, the widower, once he becomes a widower, when his spouse dies, when his wife dies, we're all still called to pursue virtue. And you make a great point, because over the years, in my 25 years of priesthood, I've read a lot of biographies of different saints.
Mm-hmm.
And in regards to some of the male saints that I've read, or blesseds, I've come across some virtuous characteristics, that is, masculine virtues, if you will, of good, faithful, holy priests, married laymen, single laymen, and widowers.
Mm-hmm.
As seen in the lives of Father Michael McGivney, the founder,
yep,
of the Knights of Columbus, of Father Augustine Tolton, the first African-American priest ordained in the United States, of St. Thomas More, who was the married Lord Chancellor of England, but also a widower before he married Lady Alice, his second,
mm-hmm,
wife, and Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati, who was a single college student and a helper to the sick and poor. And I think we could also include the young Carlo Acutis, who is soon to be canonized as soon as Pope Leo announces the date. It was
right,
supposed to be on Divine Mercy Sunday, but of course Pope Francis passed away, and so it was postponed because of the papal conclave. But I've been reading more and more about Carlo Acutis as a single young man, and I could add him to this list of virtues that I've made by reading the biographies of Father Michael McGivney, again, the Knights of the Columbus founder, Augustine Tolton, the first African-American priest, St. Thomas More, a widower and a married man twice, the Lord Chancellor of England, and Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati, a single layman, as Carlo Acutis is, right?
Yeah.
And here's my list of virtues. I'm just going to comb through these, Marcus, and let your listeners just soak them up, especially,
mm-hmm,
the male listeners. Because as I was reading these four primary biographies, I was making note of different virtues and characteristics that these men shared, despite the difference of their states in life and their vocations, okay? So listen to this. Forgiveness and mercy.
Mm.
Fatherly instinct, either physical or spiritual. Loyalty, compassion, humility, fidelity or faithfulness. I love this next one. Lover of wisdom and searcher for truth, or searcher of truth.
Yeah.
Fraternity, camaraderie, allegiance, constancy, provider, protector, leader, instilled sense of duty and responsibility, moral uprightness and strength, in other words, modesty and purity like St. Joseph, mm-hmm. bravery and courage, chivalry, a generous providing spirit, in other words, a giver rather than a taker, an other-centered person rather than a self-centered person, right? These next two are very important, affability and approachability, patriotism, all of them love their countries,
yep.
So patriotism, steadfastness in times of trial, moderation and self-control, one who recognizes the dignity of labor, and an instilled sense of valor. How's that for a list of moral virtues, right, that springboard from the seven gifts and the 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit, and also spearhead from the four cardinal virtues?
We'll have to pause there. My guest is Father Wade Menezes. We are continuing on the other side of the break.
The Encounter School of Ministry is offering a power-packed four-day event, allowing you to experience a taste of the School of Ministry. The Summer Intensive offers foundational teaching in the spiritual gifts, including kingdom identity, healing, prophecy, and inner healing, all drawing from the richness of our Catholic heritage, and taught by Father Matthias Phelan, Patrick Rice, and more. The Encounter School of Ministry Main Campus Summer Intensive, evenings June 23rd to 26th at St. Patrick Parish in Brighton, Michigan. Visit EncounterCatholic.com to learn more. EncounterCatholic.com.
When I heard other business owners say they finally found someone in the credit card industry they can trust, I wondered how he could help me. So when Mark from Schisler CPC offered to show me where all the money goes for credit card processing with a free analysis of my business, I jumped on it. He reviewed how the industry works, where we could save, and offered a no-contract guarantee on savings and excellent customer service. I'm saving thousands of dollars a year. Schisler CPC. Trust in them.
More information available on the Ave Maria website under Sponsor Business Directory.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Location, location, location. These are the three most important factors in real estate. The same might be said for colleges. Trudging through snow to get to an 8 a.m. statistics class is a much different experience than breezing by a palm tree to the raucous applause of a laughing gull. With the average temperature of 84 degrees and wetland nature as your backdrop, it's no wonder students tend to stay once they visit our campus. Ave Maria University, your future location, location, location. Visit avemaria.edu.
Remember to take a minute this week to thank a priest you know for all the blessings he shares through his vocation. Let us encourage them and express our gratitude for all of their sacrifices. Saying something like, "Thank you for baptizing our children." Nominate your priest at thankyouforyourpriesthood.com. A new contest every month through September 2025, brought to you by Diocesan, your Catholic advertising and communications company.
This summer, take a vacation that lifts your spirit and soul. Join Corporate Travel for the annual Grand Getaway on beautiful Mackinac Island, August 3rd to the 5th. Experience historic Grand Hotel, powerful talks from Father Mike Schmitz, Steve Ray, Dr. Edward Sree, and Father Leo Padalinghug, plus live broadcasts with Teresa Tamio, daily mass, four-course dinners, and dancing. Faith, fellowship, and fun in one retreat. Only a few rooms remaining. Don't miss out.
Book this Ave Maria Radio trip now by checking the travel page on avemariaradio.net.
This program brought to you in part by Ave Maria Florida, a big kind of small town where golf carts take you everywhere and there's always something fun around the corner. Discover championship golf, resort-style amenities, and a town center full of shopping and dining. With Ave Maria University and Ave Maria Catholic Church at its heart, it's a community full of connection and charm. More than 25 model homes are available for viewing. More information can be found at avemaria.com. That's avemaria.com.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience?
There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter. I'm speaking with Father Wade Menezes, who's authored a brilliant devotional, a daily devotional, a men's Catholic daily devotional. Stand firm, be strong. And men, especially, even you women listening, procure a copy for the men in your life, for the boys who are growing up to become men in your life, for your teenagers. And Father, I'm sorry that the break cut you off earlier. And
I apologize. I didn't hear the music coming. If I would have heard the music coming, I would have pulled it to a close.
I didn't want you to stop. Now, I will also say this. What a sobering wake-up call. And now, let's be clear here. Just because these are virtuous ideals, it doesn't mean that we shouldn't try. If anything, by the life of grace, we are called to exemplify those virtues. So please pick up where you left off, Father.
Yeah, I was saying bravery and courage, chivalry and leadership. A generous providing spirit, a giver rather than a taker. In other words, an other-centered person rather than a self-centered person. Affability and approachability. I love those two. Mm. Protector and defender, as I said earlier. Patriotism. They were all patriots. All four of these men loved their countries. Steadfastness, moderation, and self-control. One who recognizes the dignity of labor and an instilled sense of valor. So how's this for a list of virtues from four men, from my reading their biographies? One was a diocesan priest. Another one was a diocesan priest. One was a married layman, also a widower. And then also the young man who was single, Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati, who was a great helper to the sick and the poor. And I believe you could also include, from what little I've read about him so far, Carlo Acutis, who I believe died at 14 or 15, great lover of the Eucharist, great promoter of Eucharistic adoration and the Eucharistic miracles. What I've read about his life so far, Marcus, we could also plug in each of these virtues into his life, according to what I've read, what some of his male friends, female friends, his own relatives said about him in regards to his personality. So these are virtues to look at when we're forming young men to be men in the midst of the modern world. And I just want to wrap it up by saying this. By virtue of our baptism, we all share in the baptismal priesthood. Mm. Whether it just by the fact that we're baptized, we share in what's called the baptismal priesthood, also called the common priesthood of all the faithful. Now, I doubly share, as an ordained cleric, I also share in the ministerial priesthood. These two priesthoods, right, as you know, Marcus, are different in kind, but they share some things. How do they differ? They differ in kind because one of them is an actual sacrament. My ministerial priesthood is a sacrament. It's the sacrament of holy orders. Your baptismal priesthood, Marcus, is not a sacrament, although it's tied to the sacrament of baptism, right? So they're different in kind. How do they share with one another? Well, the two priesthoods, ministerial and baptismal, although they're different in kind, they're both called to share in the threefold office of Jesus Christ as priest, prophet, and king, the acronym PPK, as I tell my listeners, priest, prophet, and king. My question then to the married layman, to the widower, to the diocesan cleric, to the religious order cleric, whether active or contemplative, to the young man still in high school, to the young man in college, practicing chaste courtship while he's dating, let's say. My question to all these men, Marcus, regardless of their vocation, state, and life, how are you going to practice your PPK, the priesthood, prophet, and kingship of Jesus Christ within your vocation, whether just through the baptismal priesthood, if you're not an ordained cleric, or through both priesthoods like myself? And I would ask the same question to my fellow religious order priests or to my diocesan brother priests. In both of our priesthoods, ministerial and baptismal, how are you going to live the PPK, the priesthood office, the prophetic office, and the kingly office of Jesus Christ?
Right.
Because that's how you're called to live your virtue in the midst of the modern world. That's the bow on this present that we've been given by Almighty God, the triune Godhead. again, whether cleric or not, to live our baptismal priesthood and our ministerial priesthood. And this is where the spiritual fatherhood comes in. And even for single men who aren't married yet, they can be a spiritual father to their nephews. They can be a spiritual father by joining these programs like Big Brother, Big Sister, etc. By being a foster parent, okay? There's a real spiritual fatherhood that's meant to be tapped in as well. Mm-hmm. And this is really the importance overall of Father's Day, which doesn't only take in physical fatherhood, although we could say it primarily does. I think we could all agree with that, physical fatherhood. But it also takes in spiritual fatherhood. I get Father's Day greetings every year on the secular Father's Day in mid-June from relatives, friends, and so forth. So this is the message. How can we live that priest, prophet, and kingly office of Jesus Christ, each one of us through our priesthood, whether baptismal or common priesthood or the ministerial priesthood, and live it well with a life of virtue?
And Father, you've presented us what is ostensibly an extremely reasonable framework that, let's face it, if only more, I'm going to say this very humbly, more priests but also more laymen were out there putting forth this very clear call that you didn't come up with originally, it's from the church. And if I may draw attention back to your book just briefly, that's exactly what you aim to do, 200 days of walking with the scriptures, walking with the saints, in developing these virtues in an intentional manner.
Yeah, that's right. So it's a 200-day daily devotional. It's meant to be a 3 to 8 minute exercise each morning for the man to begin his day, regardless of his vocation or state in life. If the young man is serious about growing in virtue and he's 14 years of age or even 13 years of age and older, I believe he could handle this book with no problem, okay? Mm-hmm. I've written it very simply. Each of the 200 days, Marcus, has a theme at the top, a theme for that day, like accountability, commitment, purity of intention, custody of the eyes, the importance of weekly Eucharist, the importance of monthly confession, and so forth, grace and salvation and the like, okay? And then right after that theme at the top of the page, we have three things that follow in order. The scripture quote about that theme of the day, the saint quote about the theme of the day, and Father Wade's meditation about the theme of the day. So again, the theme at the top followed by those three things, the scripture quote, the saint quote, and Father Wade's meditation. Mm-hmm. One more point on the virtues, and it shows us beautifully what I'm about to say in the Latin root of the word virtus, which is virtus, right? We forget sometimes that the virtues just give us precisely the blueprint for being a man, and you just use that phrase, blueprint. That's what made me think of this. Mm-hmm. The virtues give us a blueprint for being a man. Mm-hmm. Indeed, the very term virtue comes from the Latin word for man as male, which is vir, V-I-R, where for mankind it's homines, H-O-M-I-N-E-S. Well, for male, precisely as male, the human person, it's vir, V-I-R. So for the ancients then, Marcus, to be manly was precisely to be virtuous. The term virtue in Latin, virtus, signifies power, strength, and ability. And so the virtues are habits that give us the power to act in a manly way. And we forget that truth, okay?
Right.
Vir is male in Latin, and that's where we get the word virtus from, where we get the English word virtue from. And so my book, I really push this reality with the daily meditations for the men to benefit from it.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what I find tremendously beneficial about the book. I remember you asking me to write an endorsement for it, and like I made very clear when I wrote that this isn't just a journey to virtuous manhood, it's to manly sainthood. And it's one thing to say that we're called to natural virtue, but by the order of grace we are elevated to live a divine call on earth. So what you've talked about, Father, is not only doable by grace, it's livable at the divine level on earth.
Yeah, that's right. The virtues, basically, of course, they're the building blocks of personal character. And without them, Marcus, our moral lives will eventually collapse under the pressures of the world, which is what we began our talk with a half hour ago, about how the world has really attacked true masculinity, authentic, virtuous masculinity. And so we want to try to turn the tide on all these things. I want to thank you so much for serving as an endorser for the book.
Oh, my joy.
You wrote a beautiful endorsement for it. And I want to remind your listeners that it's available from EWTNRC.com or from fathersofmercy.com. Again, EWTNRC.com. That stands for Religious Catalog. EWTNRC.com or fathersofmercy.com. And as you said earlier, Marcus, it's titled Stand Firm, Be Strong, a Men's Catholic Daily Devotional of Scripture and Saints. And guess what, Marcus? We now have a matching T-shirt to go with it. We had Religious Catalog at EWTN design a T-shirt for it that matches the cover. So I'm excited that the person can buy them both together as a bundle, or they can get just the book or just the T-shirt. But I'm hoping they'll get both and witness by what they wear as well.
No, I can't wait to get one. Father, given that we're on the eve, if you will, we're close to celebrating Father's Day, and you've written out this wondrous gift for helping men become real men. The resources are in the heart of the church, but we don't have enough. Would you mind giving an exhortation, a fatherly exhortation, to boys and men listening right now to rise up to this challenge amid the onslaught of the world and the culture?
Oh, absolutely. Pursue virtue. Pursue the good, the true, and the beautiful in concrete daily actions in your daily life, as opposed to the opposite of the good, the true, and the beautiful. What are the opposite of the good, the true, and the beautiful? The bad, the false, and the ugly. Yeah. It could be something as simple as, should I go see this movie in the theater or not? I know Catholic media has given it bad reviews. Maybe I shouldn't go see it. You know, do I really need this third beer with my buddies, or was two enough? I need to make the effort to make Sunday Mass a mainstay in my life. I need to make monthly confession a mainstay in my life. Pursue the good, the true, and the beautiful. This is the building blocks of virtue, and virtue is the building blocks of character. And, you know, again, without virtues, our moral lives will eventually collapse under the pressures of the world.
Yeah.
And we want to pursue that good, that true, and that beautiful in concrete daily actions.
Father, always an honor, always a joy. I'm also looking forward to you visiting us here in Ann Arbor.
Yes, I need to do that. When it's on my docket, I will let you know in advance.
Looking forward to it, Father. My guest has been Father Wade Menezes. He is a prolific preacher and author, no stranger to EWTN. And he's the author of Stand Firm, Be Strong, a Men's Catholic Daily Devotional of Scripture and Saints. I'm Marcus Peter.